Hi, welcome to Perfectly Imperfect. This is a program where we interview artists who have a disability. I'm going to be interviewing Joseph Borali. He's a fantastically talented artist. I met him at the Emerge 19 program for artists with a disability, which is run by the Art Gallery of New South Wales. There's going to be an exhibition at Artspace in Woolloomooloo from the 11th of March to the 5th of April, an exhibition that brings together new and experimental work by professional and emerging artists. They want to inquire into and discuss themes such as environmental stability, cultural connection, language, and how lived experience informs artist practices. And Joseph is one of the artists who's going to be featured, so we're really excited to talk with him. And so I just wanted to thank Joseph and to ask you a few questions about your work.
Well, certainly. I would love to answer every single one of your questions.
Okay. So tell me who influenced your work. You're a painter predominantly, yes? Mm-hmm.
So when I was at high school, I was inspired by H.R. Giger. He was known for doing like a lot of like surrealist works. And one of my favorite works was the one with the babies on it. And the other is from a movie that I grew up loving as a kid called Alien. He is responsible for the titular icon, the design and aesthetic of the creature, and he even built the costume using like a lot of like recycled materials, which was really, really cool. And growing up further, I started to get more into impressionism and expressionism. So, you know, Oscar Kokoschka, Claude Monet, Vincent van Gogh, all those like colorists and expressionists, I've really wanted to explore further to develop my own style and get into the career of. And I started to get more into like portraiture. So I've done portraits of, you know, very significant people that are pretty significant to me. So, you know, Friendly Geordies, Helen Dalton.
Oh, wow.
Michael Cusack. The list goes on.
Yeah, wow, that's fascinating. So can you tell me, I've had a look at your most recent work, the work that's going to be in this Garrett to Gallery exhibition, mm-hmm. and they're two self-portraits, is that mm-hmm. right? They're just stunning. They have a similar kind of colour canvas, but mm-hmm. have a very different feel. Can you explain to me how you managed to get that different emotion, maybe like you're saying, expressing that mm-hmm. with even similar palettes?
Mm-hmm. Sure. So for the first painting of out of the two self-portraits I did, I wanted to do a pre-study. So I wanted to get the sort of like immersion of like coloration and texture, how I wanted before I did the full painting, but to express, you know, how I feel when I get into the motion of the painting. And most of the time, it's usually in a very concentrative mode, but I wanted to explore like a lot of lighting and coloration into that. And the last out of the two, I wanted to do a really like moody but colorful piece. So it's all inspired by, you know, a lot of mood and feel when I'm really like concentrating into, you know, getting the colors right, but also just moving the texture along to really develop a coherent form.
Can I ask you, both of the pieces are exhibition worthy. I mean, they're beautiful. I personally really like them, and they really speak to me. I was wondering if you, as you said with the primary piece that you were focusing on, when you did that process of having the pre painting, to does that help you when you're in that focus mode to kind of have more flow and work more freely?
Yes. So when I'm doing a study, it really does help me get an understanding of what I want to do with the final product. So when I do that, I put all the pieces together and then move on to the next painting and then go from there and figure on what things I did right, I put in there, what things I did wrong. I try to expand on that to make it all work out at the end of the painting. Yeah, because when you're doing a painting, it's more than just doing this and that, put a splash of color here and there, and that's it. I want people to understand that there's a lot more to that. There's usually a lot of corrections that need to be done, and a lot of improvement, and just a lot of like learning out of it when you're really concentrating on how I want to get the painting, you know, right, and how I want it to be expressed to the public.
Wow, and I think you've definitely done that. So, Joseph, looking at these self-portraits that you've done, I can see that one of them has some markings around the chin, some darker paint, and to me it looks a little bit like the traditional Māori moku that the elders in New Zealand have. Was that intentional?
No, it was actually based on, you know, a lot of like getting the mood of the painting. And when I did that, I thought that, you know, suited the mood of the lighting and the tonality of the painting that I was working on. And I never really caught on to that until now, that it does look a bit like the muku.
Yeah.
In a way, it does make the painting seem like pretty cool when you look at it.
Yeah, for sure. And describe what drives your art practice.
A lot of it is mostly just further, you know, developing my skills a bit more. Looking and checking out new artists every day. So I go to Instagram for that reason. There's a lot of like really good artists, like Matt Draws Stuff or Nicholas Uribe. All those, you know, really like independent artists that really like put their works out there, and they're really good, you know, to share on my Facebook or to get an idea of studying it and, you know, further improving my art style, so to speak.
I've heard that you listen to music while you're painting. Can I inquire as to what you're listening to?
Oh, sure. So exactly, on my phone, it would range from like a huge eclectic list. So, you know, stuff like Eden House, Skinny Puppy, Cure, Sisters of Mercy, Frontline Assembly, all those like kind of like mostly indie independent music. If it's in the mainstream, it would have been like probably in the 80s or 90s or so.
Oh, they've got such great names, and I especially can relate to a couple of those, including The Cure. Yeah. Mm. All right. So with the tonality of these paintings, the colours, they're kind of a muted palette. And I had an idea I wanted to run past you. When I was studying to do makeup for portraiture purposes, so I wanted to have some creative control over how my portraits looked in photography, and so I wanted to study how makeup was done, and one of the things they described it to me as was sculpture in reverse. So with contouring and you know how you were talking about, it's a real process, it's not just one line of paint, it'll be layering and things of that nature. Can I ask you about how you plan that and how that flows for you, and also why you chose the colour scheme that you've chosen?
The reason why I do pick the colour scheme is, as you said, it's the muted palette. I like the minimalist approach to it. And the softness of it really gets to me, because it does display a good expressive sort of feel that you want to get to the public to get to feel that same sort of emotive. Softness is a really good palette for that.
Wow, and I think you've definitely done that. I'm so glad that we got the opportunity to speak with you today. Thank you for your time.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
The exhibition is at Artspace down in Woolloomooloo. It's going to be open from the 11th of March. So come on down and have a look.
So long for the